First of all, Michelle, the ladies want to make sure that their husbands can call tomorrow and verify that they got roses here tonight. Hallelujah. We really want to take some time and just celebrate you and just tell you that you're fearfully and wonderfully made, that God loves you and we love you, and it's just awesome. Tonight also we'd like to just celebrate Sister Barbara. We have a little something for her, maybe. run. She forgot. We had her going. She had to play the drums and she had to jump. And we just love you, Sister Barbara, and we just appreciate you so much. Tonight we're going to be talking about Deborah, and Sister Barbara has been a Deborah in my life, very much so, and I just appreciate her so much, and I know many of you do. And so I just want to just talk about Deborah. She was a woman that God was able to use. Deborah's story emphasizes the role that spiritual women can play in bringing individuals, families, and even nations back to their rightful relationship with God. That's what a woman of God can do, amen? And tonight, you're not here by coincidence, and this message is exactly for you. God has called you, amen? Let's just open up with a word of prayer. Father, we just ask you to just open our ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. Father, remove misconceptions, remove the lies of the enemy. Father, I pray that you prepare our hearts that we would be able to receive your word. Father God, speak tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm just going to read Deborah's story a little bit from Judges. And if you would like to read with me, starting in Judges chapter 4. Can I get some water? If somebody could, please. Oh, quick. She's quick. We're going to give you a break, Leslie. So Deborah, this is the story of Deborah, Judges 4:1. And the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord when Ehud was dead. And the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, that reigned in Hazor, the captain of whose host was Sisera, which dwelt in Harosheth of the Gentiles. I want to just stop right there and simply say that we have to realize that God is not going to bless our mess. Sometimes we mess around, and you know, sometimes we, you know, just kind of kick back and we fall into sin, and we like that sin, and we'll stay in that sin, and we still expect God to take care of us and take care of our kids and bless us. And that's not who God is. God is not going to bless our mess. God is going to do whatever he needs to do to get you to a place where you'll come back and you'll cry out to the Lord. And that's exactly what he did in these scriptures. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, for he, Sisera, had 900 chariots of iron, and for 20 years he mightily oppressed the children of Israel. How long are we willing to suffer and stay in a condition that we're, you know, that is far from God? You know, for 20 years, this guy oppressed these families. That doesn't mean that, oh, he was just king. It means that they paid him, that they, you know, he took whatever he wanted. And sometimes we have to get so sick and tired of our conditions, of the enemy coming into our homes, of the enemy killing our family members, the enemy, you know, just taking over our children. We have to get sick and tired, and we have to come to a place where we cry out to the Lord. And that's what they did. They finally cried out to the Lord. And Deborah, a prophetess, and the wife of Lapidoth, she judged Israel at that time. So here it tells us a little bit about Deborah. First of all, she was a prophetess, and there's a couple of different kinds of prophets. There's a prophet that foresees the future and, you know, tells the people to try to bring them back to God. And then there's the kind of prophet that has the word of God that tells you what God is saying and how to apply that word. And she was a prophetess that did that. There was no Bible then. She was the mouthpiece of God. God spoke to her. She spoke the word. And then God called her to be a judge. And with that, I think they brought me something. Thank you. With that, she began to use the word of God to apply it into situations and circumstances in people's life. So with Deborah, she was a prophetess and she was a judge. And then the word of God says that she was the wife of Lapidoth. And I think it's really interesting that they talk about that she was a wife of Lapidoth. You know, there's so much to be said about that, because in those days, if you were not a good wife, there was no honor. Thank you. Isn't everybody so sweet? What did Pastor say about our cup running over? Amen. God is good. I don't know. Thank you. Too bad. This could be for Dave Nichols. Thank you so much. Let's go on. It says, and she dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in Mount Ephraim, and the children of Israel came to her for judgment. So Deborah wasn't far from home. She knew she was called as a prophetess and a judge, but she also knew she was called to be a wife. And they honored her when they said she was a wife of this man, Lapidoth. What they were saying was she was a good wife. They honored her in that. If she was not a good wife, believe me, they would not have even mentioned that she was a wife, you know, if she had dishonored her husband. The fact that the scriptures mention that she's his wife says that she was honorable. Some commentaries considered Lapidoth a weak man standing in the shadow of his wife. But having been married to a man that allowed me, that gave me the freedom to do what God has called me to do, I know that that was not a weakness. He, you know, my husband was very confident in who he was, and he knew what God had called me to do. And he didn't know that because I told him. He knew that because God had showed him. And my husband never, ever, ever, ever stopped me from doing anything that the Lord had called me to do. There were times, however, that he would say, you know, it's time to rest right now. And I honored that. You know, and there were times when there were other things that were more important, and I honored that. You know, it's not a battlefield, and it should never be a battlefield for us to be women of God and to do ministry. And, you know, it shouldn't be a battle with our husbands, with our spouses. Praise the Lord. I believe it takes a strong man to recognize that we're joint heirs. We see that with Pastor Danny and Sister Barbara. There's a common respect and a common liberty to be who they are and to do the work of the ministry. They're in one accord about doing work for the Lord and moving forward. It's not, you know, I'm better or I'm bigger. It's, we're in this together. Let's get this done. It's a beautiful, beautiful testimony of their marriage in the ministry. A woman who is anointed, if she doesn't value that truth in her marriage, then, you know, that she is subject and committed to her husband before ministry, may get glory for that. She may get some glory for that, and she may be, you know, looked upon as awesome, but it doesn't honor her husband, it doesn't honor her, and it doesn't honor God. That's, you know, God has some real structure about what he wants for us. And that structure is that we are subject to our husbands before we're doing ministry. But God is awesome. God is able. Look at the way he moved in Deborah's life. She was a wife. They called her the mother of Israel. And she was a judge. Judge in the nation. People from all over would come to bring their problems to her. You know, some people use Deborah's story, and I know some of you have heard this. As a matter of fact, when I started to research Deborah, I picked up a book, and the guy, it was written in 1934, so I understand. He said, it was ridiculous, but it was true that this rebellious woman would incite men to battle. And I said, wow, I need to read this story myself in the Word of God, the truth. You know, and that's not who she was, amen? But many people use it to say, hey, if a man won't do it, I will do it, a woman will do it. That's not true at all. That is not, that is nothing, there's nothing in this story that says that, amen? Deborah was a judge and a prophetess way before Barak came into the story. Deborah judged under a palm tree between Ramah and Bethel. She could have judged at the city gate, which would have given her, you know, some honor. She would have been, you know, really elevated there. She could have judged anywhere. She could have had a beautiful, you know, building. But she judged under a palm tree. And I believe that she did that because, first of all, she was close to her own home, that her husband was there, that her husband covered her. And I believe that, you know, she judged there because it was open and everyone could hear what was being said, who was there. There would never be any kind of insinuation of any evil doing. She guarded herself. And we have to be women when we are doing ministry, ladies, that we guard ourselves, that we don't put ourselves in a situation where we would make ourselves look bad, make the Lord look bad, make the church look bad. We have to guard our testimonies. We have to be women that guard what God has given us. Amen? Keep away from every appearance of evil. Hey, you know, I love to minister to people, and I minister to all kinds of people. But you know what? I'm not going to have a guy at my house at 8 o'clock at night or 9 o'clock at night having coffee so I can minister to him. Are you kidding me? Even if there's nothing bad, no bad intentions. Because I have to guard my testimony. I have to guard the name of the Lord, and I have to guard this ministry. And Deborah judged between Ramah, which was called a high place. It was a place of idolatry, and Bethel, the house of God. Pastor Danny said it Sunday. He said, we come into the house of God to get filled up and get out and pour it out. We come in here to get, this is the house of God. We come in here, we get filled up. God wants to bless us. God gives us the word of God. We have the word of God. Deborah had the word of God. She was the mouthpiece of God. And guess what? You are the mouthpiece of God. You have the word of God. And it does us some good to be together and to share the word of God. But you know what? He gave it to us so we can go and help other people, hurting people. Hurting people, amen? God wants to use us to stand in the gap. Do you know that this is the pursuit of God? The word of God says in Ezekiel 22:30 that he said, he looked. He was looking for a woman. He was looking for a man to build the wall and to stand in the gap. He was looking for us. Where were we? We're here now. Praise the Lord. Amen. He's looking for you to stand in the gap. In verse 6, it says that she went and called Barak, the son of Abinoam, son of Kadesh Naphtali, and said unto him, hath not the Lord God of Israel commanded, saying, go and draw toward Mount Tabor, and take with thee 10,000 men of the children of Naphtali, and the children of Zebulun, and I will draw unto thee to the river Kishon Sisera, the captain of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his multitudes, and I will deliver him into your hand. And Barak said unto her, let me stop here before I tell you what Barak said. Natalie said, you know, we need each other. We need each other because it's not easy to trust. It's not easy to trust, especially when we've lived a certain way and God tells us, hey, I need you to do this now. It's different. It's change. Hey, I have my notes here. I'm old school. You know, and we have to do things differently because things change. But it's not easy. It's not easy for us to change, and it's not easy for us to do something we don't know. And so she told Barak, she said, I need you to do this. Now listen, the king had 900 chariots, but he had 100,000 men. And the word came to him, to Deborah, have him get 10,000 men and go out there and meet him. How would you feel about that? I'd be like shaking in my boots, right? I'd be shaking in my boots. And Barak said to her, if you will go with me, Deborah, then I will go. But if you will not go with me, then I will not go. I love Deborah's response. No recriminations, no belittling, no exalting herself. This is what she said. I will surely go with thee. Simple. You need me? I'm there. She didn't say, you know what, let me take care of that. I'll go. The armies will follow me. That would be our natural tendency, right? We're tough chicks. Some of us. Most of us. Well, all of us. All of us, but not Deborah. She said, however, notwithstanding, this journey that thou takest shall not be for thine honor. For the Lord shall sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. She wasn't talking about herself. She was talking about Jael, that Jael was going to get Sisera. She was going to get a tent peg, and she was going to get a hammer and put it through his temple. And she would have the honor for that, and today still has the honor for that. You know, I've heard them say, I can't believe it. This is where women come, where I've heard women say, well, if a man won't do it, a woman has to. That was not the case. That was not the case. Deborah rose and went out with Barak to Kadesh. And Barak called Zebulun and Naphtali and Kadesh, and he went with 10,000 men at his feet. And Deborah went with him. We can understand Barak. God's call is fearful sometimes. Has God ever told you to do something and it's scary? It's fearful to do something that you don't know. I remember the first time Pastor Danny said, hey, I need you to put together a grant for the governor's office or something like that. Oh, my God, what in the world are you talking about? There is no way in the world that I can do that. And I was afraid. I was afraid of failure. I was afraid. But thank the Lord that people like Deborah come and say, surely I will go with you and walk with you and help you to get where you need to go. Amen? Amen. I like Barak because, yeah, it was fearful, but he wanted the prophetess. He wanted the word of God to go with him. He didn't care about the honor. He wanted the word of God. He said, if I have the word of God, hey, all will be well. Amen? All will be well. Sometimes your husband, you know, sometimes your husband may need you to simply say, surely I will go with you. Can you walk alongside your husband when God calls him to a difficult thing, a fearful thing, a great thing? Do you choose to lose respect for your husband for showing human frailty? Do you lose respect for him because he becomes afraid? Or he has a moment, a lapse of faith? Do you usurp him by saying, just let me handle it. I got this. I can do this. And do you delegate him to be subject to you? That's not what God has called us to do. He called us to be a helpmate, to say to our husbands, I will surely go with you. The word of God is going to go with us. We're going to make it. Everything's going to be okay. It doesn't cost anything to be kind. The choice of your response is in your hand. I am a critical woman. I can criticize anything. I walk in a room and say, what's wrong with the room? Not how beautiful it is, but what's wrong? But it's my choice what I'm going to say or not say and how I'm going to respond. See, the Bible says that a wise woman builds her house, but a foolish one tears it down. I believe that's Proverbs 14. Cool. Can you walk alongside your husband? Amen. Pastor talked Sunday about our city feeling like an abused, dejected, hopeless child. We see the despair and devastation, drugs, murder, hate is so common that we aren't even shocked when we hear about it anymore. We don't even flinch that 12 people were shot, or, you know, we don't flinch. It's like, oh, how sad. But God, amen, God weeps. God weeps. And when God weeps, he begins to raise up a remnant. And I believe that that's happening. Everywhere that I've gone, every message that I've heard on TV, people are saying, not on my watch. Not on my watch. Enough is enough. We cannot be people that just say, oh, how sad. That's terrible. We have to rise up and be women of God. God is calling us to be women of God, that will hear the word of God, that will apply the word of God, and that will be those women that stand up and have an answer for people, like Deborah had an answer. That's why people came. She had an answer. They didn't just come because they wanted to see the judge. They came because they needed help. They needed an answer for their situation and circumstance. And that was what Deborah was. She was willing to let God use her. She was willing to let God raise her up. She loved God. She loved her nation. Because she knew it was God who called her. She wasn't moved from that calling. She did not exalt herself, and she didn't let others exalt her. You know, when God raises us up, it's an awesome thing. Especially when you come in and you're broke down and you feel like the only thing you're good for is for somebody to step on you. And all of a sudden, God raises you up, and he's the lifter of your head, and all of a sudden, he gives you capacity to do things, and he gives you confidence, and he just raises you up to be a woman of God. That's an awesome thing. That's a powerful thing. And people see it in you, and people begin to want to use you and want to exalt you and want to put you on a pedestal. And it's tempting, especially if we've never had anyone admire us or value us. But we are only vessels that God has had mercy on. We're nothing without God. We're nothing without the Word of God. We cannot do anything without God. Even today, people say that Deborah was a great warrior, warrior princess. There was pictures of her with swords and... Not so. She did not fight in the battle. Yes, she supported the man that God called to battle, but she didn't fight. Some called her the leader of the nation. God was the leader. There was no king. God alone was the leader of the nation. She was only one of 12 judges. She did not seek honor. She didn't seek honor. When she talked about God honoring a woman, he was... As I said before, she was talking about Jael. She knew what God called her to do. She was not moved by admiration of others or ambition or pride. What has God called you to do? Do you know what God's called you to do? What has God called you to do? If you don't know, find out. Find out. I could tell you what Sister Barbara's called to do. How many of you know what Sister Barbara's called to do? Raise your hand. A lot of you. She's called to reach hurting women. She's called to stand with her husband. She's called to help build this church. You know what her call is. She doesn't hide it. She does it. Right? She's not moved. What are you called to? What are you called to? If you're married, you should be called to help your husband. Not hinder him. Not tear him down. Help him. from the beginning of the Lord coming into my life, I know what my call is. It comes from 1 Samuel 14. Pastor Danny, whatever's in your heart to do, do it, for I am with you, heart and soul. I haven't changed, because I know that that's the call that God has in my life. You need to find out what that call is so that you can fulfill God's call in your life. It's awesome when you're in the call of God and you know you're doing what God has called you to do. There's peace. There's strength. We don't spin our wheels. We know what we're called to do. Amen? Praise the Lord. God called Deborah, and he's calling us today to be wise and available. If you don't feel like you're wise, at least don't be foolish. Don't be foolish. I have done some foolish things in my life. Why? Because I was foolish. But you know what? It's awesome when you've been in the ministry as long as I've been in the ministry, and there's people here that have been here longer. But it's such an awesome privilege for you to know somebody and watch the work of God in their life. I've known Sister Barbara 32 years, and I remember to this day a conversation, I don't know if she remembers having it, that she said, I don't know what to do. And so I got on my face before God, and I said, I need wisdom. Is that correct? And she did not move until God poured down wisdom on her. There's no reason that we should be foolish. There's no reason we should be making the mistakes that we make. There's no reason we should be dishonoring God by the choices and the decisions we make. James 1:5 says, if you want wisdom, ask for it, because I'll give it to you generously. He'll give it to you generously. Amen. Deborah and God has called us to serve. He's called her to serve as a prophetess and a judge. God is calling us to serve. If you don't know what you can do to serve, see me. See me. I am great at delegating. God has a place for you to serve. It may not be your perfect calling. Like I told you, my call is to stand with my pastor. Sometimes that means that, you know, the women's home can't come clean the church. So, get a few girls and come clean the church. Sometimes that means children's church. Sometimes that means whatever. Run to Kinko's. Run, can you do this? Who knows? But serve, do something. Anything. Anything. We used to count it such a privilege to be able to clean the toilets. We humbled ourselves and we cleaned the toilets. I think, Teresa, you can remember that back in the day. We thought it was an honor. We believed it was an honor because we were doing it unto the Lord. What an honor. What an honor to serve the Lord. Amen. Deborah's first calling was spiritual. You have a calling to be a spiritual woman. Get up. Read your Bible. Pray. There's the alarm clock. Get up. Get up. Mine should say that. Get up. I make light of it, but in truth, we should be getting up. And praying and reading our word and seeking God. This fast, we think fast. 40-day fast. I'll wither away. It ain't like that. One day it'll say, okay, this is what we're doing. We're not going to have breakfast. We are going to pray for this specific item. That's the fast that we're going to do. I encourage you, if you don't have the paperwork, see Michelle, she's going to have it for you on Sunday. We put Michelle on the spot all the time, even though our printer isn't working right now. So she first of all, she had a spiritual duty, but then she had an administrative duty as a judge. She was there to take care of business. We're called to take care of business. Some of us, you know, are hiatus or something. We don't take care of nothing. We're like, Doris will take care of it. The gang will take care of it. The woman's home will take care of it. We are called to take care of business. We are called to take care of God's business and not be in everybody's business. We have no business in anybody's business. Don't park your nose in somebody else's business, nosy parkers. Gladys Kravitz. Some of you don't know who that is. Take care of business. Take care of God's business. This church is God's business. This church is God's business. Children's church is God's business. Nursery is God's business. Ushering is God's business. She was a judge. She took care of God's business. She addressed issues. Some of you cause issues. We're taking care of issues because you caused that issue. God has called us to fill the need, to settle disputes, not add fuel to the fire, not gossip. Settle disputes. What is your problem? That's one way to settle a dispute. What is your problem? She was called to be spiritual and practical. The Word of God says in Colossians 3, 1 through 7, do not become so spiritual minded that we are of no earthly good. Or don't be so worldly-minded that you're of no spiritual good. Make yourself available to serve. Remember that you have a responsibility. Serve God right where you're at. Don't wait till, I've been in the church 4 months. When it's a year, I'll do something. Right where you're at. Maybe we won't, you know, give you the pulpit. But, you know, maybe you could help usher. Whatever ministry, amen. Deborah spoke God's word. She didn't speak her opinion, her philosophy, or her education. We need less of us and more of God. Deborah spoke what God told her to say. The Lord spoke through Deborah's mouth. It was not her sharp mind or eloquent speech. We can't just speak to people just any old way. These are people that God loves, and we have a responsibility, like Deborah, to turn them to God and to help them be free from the enemy. It's not just about telling them. It's about helping them to get free and stay free. Hey, you know what, when you tell somebody about Christ and they're coming to church and they made a decision to stop using, hey, it's not over. They are going to struggle still, and they may relapse, and they may stumble, and it's up to us to surely walk with them. Amen? We are called to be humble and grateful. You know, after all of that, you know, the God won the battle. He brought about rain, and the chariots got stuck in the mud. And, you know, Barak took and overcame all of the armies. And Sisera ran away, and Jael took care of him. It was God. It wasn't Deborah. And Deborah knew that. And she wrote a song, and they say it's one of the most beautiful forms of literature or poetry even today. I encourage you to read it. It's in Judges 5. But I like that it says that when they sang this song, Deborah and Barak, the son of Abinadab, on that day sang together. It's not about women. It's not about men. We're in this together. We have to lock arms and we have to declare the word of God. We have to know that God has called us. Amen? God has called us. Where would we be if God had not revealed himself to us? What if, you know, he loves women. We celebrated you today. We gave you a rose and we said how wonderfully, fearfully and wonderfully you are. We celebrate you. Awesome. You are amazing. God created you. God did that. And he did it for a purpose because he has a plan for you and he wants to use you to use the word of God and to help God's people come back to him and help them to learn how to walk freely. Will you do that? Will you be a woman of God and answer the call that God is calling us to? I thank God for women that have stood, because like my sister said, if you're hard, you may need a hard leader. I sometimes need hard leaders, but you know what I needed more than anything? Leaders that were going to stand for me, that were going to speak the word of God into my life, that were going to administer me. Sister, don't do that. Come here, girl. You're wrong. That was wrong. I needed that. I thank God for Deborah's in my life. I thank God for Sister Barbara. I don't know where I'd be. I do not know where I'd be. And I'm grateful for all of you. I thank God for my team. They were awesome. Aren't they awesome? Love them. And again, being in this church for such a long period of time that I've been able to see what God has done. See what God has done, Laverne, Leslie, Doris, Natalie, Barbara. Awesome. It's awesome to see what God has done. And if God could do it in them, he can do it in you. And if he could do it in me, he could do it in anybody. Terca. You don't know what that means? Stubborn. Stubborn. But I thank God that God, not only did he pick me up, but he used me. He uses me. And he uses me to preach the word of God. Not just here. You don't always see me here, but I minister the word of God everywhere that I go. And it's an honor and a privilege that God allows us to do that. Because it's only the word of God that's going to save this city and save these hurting people. Only the word of God. So we need to open up our mouths. We need to spend some time with the Lord and let him speak through us. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for showing us that we are fearfully and wonderfully made women created by you. We thank you, Jesus, for revealing yourself as the Messiah to women such as the Samaritan woman, to the woman with the issue of blood, to Rahab the prostitute, to Mary and Martha, to Sister Julie, to Sister Barbara, to me, and to you. To every lady here, he's revealed himself. Thank you for using Deborah to bring forth your word, bring your people back to you, and to give them freedom from the enemy. Use us. Use us, Father. Use us to snatch them from the very, very, very gates of hell, Father God. We declare your word and we say we will take this city. We will stand for our nation. We will stand for our city. We will proclaim your word, God. Use us, Father God. Use us, Father God. Use us, Father. We say we will surely go with those people that you bring in along our path. We will walk with men and women of God to help them fulfill your will in their life. Use us as grateful and humble servants to you, grateful for your call and gracious to hurting people, gracious to our husbands, gracious, Father God. We love you, Lord. Have your way in our lives, God. Father, we don't want to stay in our mess, Father. We don't want to wait 20 years lost and doing our own thing and playing with the world, Father God. We come to you. We cry out to you, God. Turn our hearts back to you, God. Turn our hearts back to you, God. Turn our hearts towards you, Father God. That we would love you, God. That we would, Father God, open our hearts to your word, Father God. Oh, Father, we repent for our city, Father God. We stand in the gap, Father God, for our city, God. We cry out mercy for our city, God. We cry out mercy for the gang member, God. We cry out mercy for the children, God. We cry out mercy for the drug addict, God. The hurting women, Father God. The prostitute, Father God. Everyone who is away from you, God, we cry out mercy, God. Oh, we pray, God, that your salvation would come in such a way, God. Use this place, God. This is a place, Father God. This is the place that you've given us to bring them, Father God. A hospital, Father God. A city of refuge, Father God. Oh, Father God, use us, God. Use our lives, Father God. We cry out for our families. We say, no more, God. No more can the enemy come in and destroy and oppress our families. No more can he have a foothold in our homes. We claim our homes for God's honor and God's glory. We claim our children for you, God. We declare that they belong to you, God. Satan cannot have them, Father God. Oh, Father God, they belong to you, God. No longer will we compromise, God. No longer will we compromise, Father God. Oh, God, forgive us, God. Forgive us, Father God. Make us women of God. Women, Father God, that hear your voice, God. That speak your word, God. And that appropriate your word rightly, Father God. Oh, God, have your way in our lives, God. Have our way, have your way in our marriages, Father God. We pray for your divine order in marriage, Father God. Oh, Father God, a divine respect, Father God. Oh, Father God, bind marriages together with cords of love that cannot be broken, God. Oh, Father God, have your way, Father God. Help us that have been foolish, God, to stop being foolish, Father God. To stop making foolish choices, sinful choices, Father God. Help us to be wise, Father God, in the way that we carry ourselves, God. Give us wisdom from above, Father God. Wisdom, Father God. Wisdom from above, Father God. Every woman that is here, Father God. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Have your way. Thank you, Father God. Bless every woman that is here, Father God, with your wisdom. With your wisdom, Father God. In Jesus' name.